So, we're a little tight on time, but I'm going to do this anyway, because this is what I do. Feel free to leave if you need to. If I go to 1 o'clock, sorry. Thus says the wife. So I want to look at the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And we're going to kind of look at this with the now and not yet perspective. This is kind of that thing that you hear us talk about here in the Vineyard a lot, is the now and the not yet. And the kingdom of God is the premise of that. So I want to start with what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is not a definable place, but rather, it's an undeniable presence. Okay, and that's my definition. That's not the Vine's Concordance or anything of that nature. The kingdom of God is not a definable place, but an undeniable presence. And as the church, we must understand the kingdom of God to understand our lives, the body, how we exist, how we fit, and what we do. So let's take a look at not only what is the kingdom of God, but how does the kingdom of God work? How does it work in our life? How does it work here on earth? How does it work in heaven? So first and foremost, the kingdom of God, it's a realm, a dynamic realm, and it is advanced first and foremost by proclaiming the gospel, which is, of course, the good news that Jesus talked about. So it's advanced by proclaiming the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to, one, be a pure and perfect sacrifice to bring atonement. I'll look at Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to reference a lot here. They'll be short. We won't go too far down. But to kind of give the supporting documentation of why we believe what we believe. So to be a pure and perfect sacrifice, to bring atonement, to bring salvation, redemption, that's the good news. Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place year by year with the blood not of his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, being that pure and perfect sacrifice. Verse 27, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. That is the good news, that Jesus died for our sins and he'll return for our salvation. It don't get no gooder than that. So that's the first part of proclaiming the gospel. The second part is that he ushered in the kingdom of God through his presence here on earth. When he came in the form of man, the Messiah, he ushered in the presence of God, the kingdom of God. Let's look real quick at Mark chapter 1. He explains this quite well. Mark chapter 1, verse 13. Jesus had been baptized. He had gone into the wilderness. And it says he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels were ministering to him. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God, which we just talked about, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is how the kingdom is advanced on earth. This is how the kingdom is advanced in men. That is our responsibility. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what it says in Matthew, that when he came out of the wilderness, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus inaugurated the kingdom reign on earth. The second thing about the kingdom is it is demonstrated through the works of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is demonstrated, it's displayed. What we see, the physical manifest of the kingdom present right here, is done through the works of Christ. Let's look at Luke. That's a tongue twister. My kids would have fun with that. Look at Luke chapter 4. Go down to verse 14. It says, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written." He's going to read from Isaiah here about himself. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." That's what he came to do. That's what he came to do. It's an echo of what we just talked about the salvation and the redemption. He would spend the next several years proclaiming repentance and having people follow him, that the only way to God was through Christ. But he would also display the kingdom. We talk about that here at the Vineyard a lot, that we speak the gospel, we proclaim the gospel, and then we back it up with what John Wimber described or coined as power evangelism, where you proclaim the gospel, the truth, and then you reinforce it with a power encounter, with the power, the presence of God. Because it's one thing to say, God heals. Well, that sounds good. But until he does, that's just words. But when someone has an experience and the cataracts are removed from their eyes, or their leg is healed because it's too short and it's made longer, when someone's heart arrhythmia is set straight, they now have an experience. They can still choose not to follow God, but they can no longer choose to admit that he's not there. So Jesus would display the kingdom and the kingdom presence by healing the sick, feeding the hungry, forgiving the sinful, encouraging the poor, so forth and so on, as proof that the kingdom was here. And then the second part about it, and this is the part that's so awesome, he gave it away. If you look at Matthew chapter 10, he takes his disciples and he says, "Hey guys, gather around. Guess what? You're going to go do the stuff." That's what Wimber called it. That's what we tend to say around here. That's one of the things I love about Jim. I remember when I came to Jim and told him I wanted to do something, he's like, "Okay." He prayed for me and said, "Go do it." You know, it's like he's got this great big industrial roll of paper towels to clean up all my spilt milk, but he lets me go do it. And because of that, I've grown. I've gotten a few right here and there. But in Matthew chapter 10, it says, "Having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And if you go on down to verse 7, he says, as you go, preach, saying, this is going to sound familiar, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, and remember, this isn't suggestion. This is him telling them what to do. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, so freely give. These powers were given from him to them to also give away. Hundreds of years of getting to give, receiving to give away. This authority has been passed down from generation to generation to generation so that we can do also the works of Christ, empowered by the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus. So empowered by the Holy Spirit, we, the church, the body, are the instruments of the kingdom. And then the kingdom of God is entered. Only through relationship with God. That's part of our message. The kingdom is open to anyone, but can only be accessed through relationship with Him. Through Christ. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul explains this quite well. For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel, right? Verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him. God's reign is supreme. God's sovereignty is unparalleled by anything we can fathom or imagine. He is in complete and total control of everything. And yet, He has invited us into this kingdom of which He is the ruler. He has called us heirs, children. And that's what He wants for all the world, for all the earth. But the only way in is through Christ. Again, part of that good news, part of the gospel. But a requirement for access. As Jesus would tell Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He makes it quite clear. But I love the way He says it. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and he'd come to Jesus. And he basically says, hey, we know You're the Christ. We know You're the real deal. Jesus responds in John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What we saw right over here a while ago was part of that process, which was not planned, by the way. That was just a cool working of the Spirit there to orchestrate that way. But the only way into the kingdom is through Christ. So what does that do to us as instruments of the kingdom? Like Jesus, we have to proclaim the gospel. We have to keep pushing the boundaries of the kingdom further and further. there was a, what was the Disney movie with the, it's The Lion King, where he says, my kingdom goes as far as the sun reaches, or something of that nature. Well, it's much like that. The kingdom of God has no end. But we will only see it as far as we proclaim it. Now, the reason I wanted to go over this today, for a lot of you here, that's kind of a rehash. You know that. I know it's preaching to the choir, if you will. But these things are integral to who we are as believers, but specifically to the Vineyard, but even more specifically to the Vineyard Gadsden. This is who we are, and this is what we believe. And to grasp the kingdom of God, the sovereign rule and reign of our Creator, this is the overreaching theme throughout Scripture with which we have to look at all Scripture with. Speaking kind of loosely, this is the climax of the Old Testament and the foundation for the New Testament. The coming of Christ, ushering in the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus fixed the law, okay? The law was perfect. You won't hear that taught in church a lot because it kind of flies in the face of all the talk of grace. But it actually is in conjunction with grace. The law that God gave was perfect. But he says the covenant was flawed. It wasn't the law that was flawed. It was the covenant that was flawed. And why was the covenant flawed? Scripture says the flaw was with men, that he found fault with us. Because at the end of the day, we couldn't live up to our end of the covenant. God never failed. The law never failed. Man failed. So therefore, we get the new covenant, which does what the law could not do, which gives us the access to the kingdom of God, which is where we were meant to be to start with. This is the kingdom of God is the overreaching theme of the from maps to Genesis, all the way to the little concordance in the back of your Bible. All of that is explaining the kingdom of God. So with that said, we have to step back. Salvation keeps me out of hell, yes. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is restoration to the one who I was meant to be with to start with. That's what redemption is about. The kingdom of God on earth, breaking through like waves crashing on the beach, the kingdom realm breaking into to this time, this present age, all so we can experience the kingdom of God now. But that's part of the kingdom now, kingdom not yet. Is it won't be completely fulfilled. We won't see it in full until the return of Jesus, when the trumpet sounds and he gathers his elect from the four corners of the earth. That's when the kingdom will be fulfilled. Right now, we get waves because Jesus began ushering it in when he came to earth. So we live for those times. We live for those moments. And we constantly push the boundaries of the kingdom, inviting people in, proclaiming the gospel, preaching the truth, healing the sick, raising the dead, righting the wrongs. See, and I wasn't going to go there, but one of the things we talk about often is injustice. We talk about that a lot. It gets a lot of conversation in church and in the world. But the thing is, we have to look at these things with a kingdom view. It's easy to identify injustices in our mind. But what is justice? It's clear to see sometimes what is wrong, but it's not always clear to see what is right. Because we have to not look at things with our flesh, we have to look at things through the kingdom view. What does God want? One of the greatest things I've learned through Recovery Church is it's one day at a time. That's one of the things we talk about in Recovery Church, is it's one day at a time. You only have to make it one day. You make it today, you're golden. Then when you get up tomorrow, you make it one more day. You only have to make it today. Well, you know what? That's not that far of a cry from the kingdom. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, what? Daily. I have to get up today and make it today. One day at a time. Crucifying my flesh and being who he called me to be. Why? Because that's kingdom life. That's kingdom living. Being who he created us and called us to be. So, is it 1 o'clock yet? 1:30? Okay. I'll put a bow on it here. But what I want to leave you with today, this is why we believe what we believe and the reason you see us say and do some of the things we do. Here in just a minute, we're going to have some people over here for ministry time. We are trying to kingdom live over there on that carpet. We're trying to bring the kingdom in for healing, for restoration, for life. When we worship, we are worshiping in spirit and truth. The sovereign God who is here. And we may not see it in fullness, but we see it at least in part. And we worship that. We worship him. So, as you go this week, I want to encourage you to look at things with a kingdom view. Not a world view, but a kingdom view. And remember who we are and what our purpose is. So, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the things that you've done here today, for coming and allowing us to worship you. Lord, for the baptism, the family moment in the kingdom, and Lord, for your word, for your truth that never changes. Bless this now. Go with us all as we go in you. We bless you now. Amen.